Good afternoon and welcome to today's Community and Regional Affairs hearing. With me today is Senator Kukish, Senator Bernard, and myself, Senator Olson. Please turn off your cell phones and BlackBerries since this meeting is being teleconferenced and recorded. On today's agenda, we will consider Senate Bill 147, the Sewer and Water Task Force. The following administrative positions of officials are available for comments and questions. That's from the DEC, Bill Griffith. Senator Kukish and his staff will introduce the bill. We will not move the bill today, and we'll revisit Senate Bill 147 next Tuesday for further committee action. With that, Senator Kukish.
Well, I'm going to ask my staff to present it, because I haven't been convinced yet one way or the other, so I need to hear them.
No, you're going
to
vote for your own bill.
I'm kidding. I'd like to introduce Dorothy Shockley and ask her to come up and make a presentation to the committee. If that's all right with you, I'll just stay seated here.
Okay. Ms. Shockley, please identify yourself for the record and go ahead with your presentation.
Okay, my name is Dorothy Shockley, staff to Senator Kukish. Thank you, committee, for hearing our bill. Mr. Chairman, Senate Bill 147 is a bill that will create a 9-member Alaska Water and Sewer Task Force to address the estimated 6,000 homes in the state without safe potable water and safe sanitation systems. The state of Alaska has only met the required amount match of federal funds at 19% to 25% for rural projects, and most of that money has not gone to new projects, but facility upgrades and maintenance. Over the past years, we've been addressing this, but at a very, very slow pace, and it's mostly been federal funds in rural Alaska, though a lot of state funds are used in municipalities. But, you know, with 6,000 homes still without water and sewer, I think we just need to address the situation, and we'd like to form this task force to just try to streamline this project. I mean, it's just taken way too long to get these homes with water and sewer, but the task force will establish a more accurate number of homes without safe water and sewer systems, establish a spectrum of need and prioritize, explore alternative simple self-sustaining water and sewer systems in small rural communities, research other Arctic nations' water and sewer systems, coordinate funding and agencies that provide services and construct water and sewer projects, investigate and assess past water and sewer projects and service providers, meet with state and federal agencies and departments on regulations and funding requirements to streamline projects. And on the task force, we're looking at 9 members, 2 from the Senate, 1 member to be appointed by the Bush caucus, the other Senate member would be selected by the majority of the full body, and the same as that on the House side. And we'll have 1 member of the public who is a civil engineer appointed, 1 member who represents an appropriate federal agency, another one for the state agency, and then 2 members of the public who reside in rural Alaska that are not connected to the road system. And everything else is pretty simple as far as the task force, and for budget purposes, we selected 4 communities, Allakaket, Venati, Stebbins, Elam, and then we'd have a hearing in Anchorage during AFN, but others as well. It would be, of course, up to the task force to establish where and when. But we're looking at a report by next January 2013, and we would like to, if possible, this bill passes both houses, maybe have the task force set up before the end of session. Mm-hmm. And possibly hold a hearing then.
Okay. I'd just like the record to reflect that Senator Ellis has joined us. Any questions by members of the committee for Ms. Shockley? Mm-hmm. Senator Menard.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Have you already started to hear from the two public members? Is there some good positive talk that want to be on? They know that this is coming down. There's going to be senator, house members, and engineer, and I imagine I just am thinking, I can't help but think about Senator Ted Stevens, because we just did the unveiling of his portrait. And as I was reading the letter from Senator Lisa Murkowski, I also mentioned what a heart he had for this. And to think that there's still 6,000 people without proper water, and, you know, I'm so supportive that this is going forward. And I just want to go on record to say I'm certainly very much wanting to back this task force.
It's not 6,000 people, though. Is it 6,000 households?
Homes, or households. Plus, right. You know, more than 6,000.
Mm-hmm. 6,000
families
that are, Okay. Yes. And I think it's really important that we constantly recognize what a small state we are as far as numbers, but we are also a very wealthy state. And I don't compare myself to Uncle Ted in any way, but I do agree right down the line that, you know, shame on us if we can't provide this for our people. So that's all I had to say, Mr.
Any further questions by members of the committee for Ms. Shop?
Oh, Senator Mayor, through the chair. I totally agree. And I've heard from, of course, quite a few communities that support this and organizations, but also some engineers who would be willing to help either by an appointment on the task force or just providing their services too. I think a lot of people are in support of this. I didn't mention the physical notes, but
right, and I was interested in that.
Why don't you go ahead and give it to us?
Okay. The one from, we had Ledge Legal, and this is for the task force. Mm-hmm. The total amount is $107,000, and that would include the 5 trips, 4 to the rural communities and Anchorage. It also will hire a part-time person to coordinate, collect all the information, and work on the report at the end. So, and start collecting the information that we need. You know, as far as, I think it would be a matter of calling each community and getting an accurate number. I'm getting some from some of the communities, and other folks are working on numbers, but.
So you wouldn't go to the 4 communities that you named, Allakaket, Venati, Stebbins, and Hillam? Or are you planning on going to all four?
Well, we would. I mean, this budget would cover that, but we'd also be hiring somebody to help.
For the $7,000?
$107,000, yes.
$107,000.
Mm-hmm. And then DEC submitted one for $6,300. For their staff to travel, or just
to accompany the task force.
Right. Right.
Mm-hmm. Senator Bernard.
Chairman, just for clarification, it's just a half-time person you were planning to hire, correct?
Yes. Senator Murray, through the chair, yes.
Okay. Any further questions of members of the committee? If not, I've got a couple questions. As you look at the 6,000 households that are, or the, in excess of 6,000 households that are without safe water and inadequate sewer, what's their distribution like? Are they peripheral out toward the coastal area, toward the inner area, or toward southeast?
Well,
what's the distribution generally? Or is it people that are outside of Delta Junction that just aren't close to the utility door?
No. In your, the Alaska Native Health, the Tribal Health Consortium, at the Bush Caucus meeting last Friday, kind of gave a handout, and these are, of course, are just estimates, but according to their estimates, and it's in the second one here. They have unserved homes on, I think it's the third page. You'll have, you'll see Yukon Kuskokwim at 32%, and the interior at 19%, South Central at 14%, Norton Sound at 10%, Kenai at 10%, and other at 15%. And of that other, there's Arctic Slope at 9%, Northwest Arctic at 32%, Southeast at 20%, mm-hmm. Bristol Bay at 20%, Copper River at 13%, and Aleutian Pribilof at 6%. So if there, it's just kind of all over the state, but mm-hmm. I guess the majority is the Yukon Kuskokwim. And the interior, South Central, I mean, it just kind of varies. But and then if you look at the next page, distribution of first service needs by region, you have Yukon Kuskokwim at 69%. Those are the first service needs. And I think those are some of the things that, you know, I would like to see targeted. Mm-hmm. I know there's a lot of needs out there in regards to maintenance and upgrades, but I think first needs, I mean, mm-hmm. you know, the senator wrote to the governor, and the Bush caucus wrote to the governor, too, three different times, and giving recommendations, asking for more funding. But one of the things that the Bush caucus asked for is a list of projects and a list of maintenance needs, kind of like the education department does. Mm-hmm. And that was 2 years ago, and we still haven't gotten the list. But I think that would be an easy way for people to see, the legislators to see. And you have a list of projects, you have a list of maintenance, mm-hmm. and you just go down the line and you fund, you know, at a certain amount. I think it's just simple to me, but we haven't seen that yet.
As you look at some of the issues that are related to poor sanitation, like health concerns, what specific health concerns are associated with this in rural Alaska? An idea?
Well, from what I've read and I know is a lot of respiratory. And I mean, just infections.
Poor sanitation is going to cause respiratory problems?
It's been recorded, yeah. And maybe others who are who know more about it, who can address those, but definitely respiratory. And just, I mean, infections, you know, like MRSA, those kinds of things. I mean, it's just...
How is your hepatitis is one of the big things that I'm concerned about, because
it's spread so easily.
Sure.
I mean, one community we went to, I mean, they had, you know, a breakout of MRSA. I mean, that's bad.
Sure. One of the concerns that's been pointed out, and I'm on the DEC Finance Subcommittee, was pointed out today that because of the diminishing and dwindling federal funds that are coming through, that some of these projects that are getting more and more expensive where you don't have an easy area to go ahead and put the sewer and water lines into, mm-hmm. that with the federal funding that's drying up, it may be more and more difficult to get water and sewer. I'm thinking of Diomede, for example, where you've got a rock coming out of the water and mm-hmm. pretty steep sides there. Do you see this in reality, that something like this will come to fruition, or do you see any other way besides the state and the federal coming together to try and get a water and sewer project out to these villages that so desperately need it?
Well, I believe anything is possible, Mr. Senator. And there has to be. I mean, if other countries can do it, you know, I mean, I think we're kind of way behind.
Sure. Senator Kukesh.
Just wanted to make a comment. I noticed in the news recently that there was an endeavor by the United States of America to repair all of the water and sewer system in Iraq. Can you imagine how much that's going to cost? If you're going to do that in a country like Iraq, and you still have 6,000-plus homes in Alaska, and we don't know what is available to the rest of America that are considered rural, why should we have to sit back and watch our people who that we represent
to pay taxes?
It just doesn't make any sense to me. So I'm really concerned that, you know, when we start talking about the diminishing federal funds, I think what we have to do and recognize here is that this task force is not going to solve all of the problems. Mm-hmm. But if we get rid of 50% of those homes and get down to even at a high mark, 75% of the homes, we've accomplished something. Mm-hmm. But for us to not take the step to establish a task force to find answers to the direction we eventually need to go in, I think that that would be wrong on our part. So I really hope that, you know, those of us who are involved in the legislature when it comes around again would have the opportunity to have some answers that would give you some direction.
Sure.
And that's the whole intent of this legislation.
Okay, great. Any further questions of the bill sponsor? Senator Menard.
Just refresh my memory. I should have already. It's going to sunset in 2013, or?
Senator Menard, through the chair.
If it goes through the task force.
Well, it's not a sunset. We're looking at a report, but mm-hmm. I would like to see the task force continue until mm-hmm. we have all of our mm-hmm. homes complete, or at least a plan mm-hmm. in place.
I just
a
didn't
concrete plan
through the.
Sure.
I just didn't know if you had a couple years in mind, because you know, as these bills go, or mm-hmm. they go through committee process, right. people start tacking things on, and okay, we want to let this mm-hmm. task force be in place till 2014, and then it'll sunset, and you got to come back through this whole process mm-hmm. all over again. So I just wasn't clear. I saw the money was $107,000 for that first year to get it mm-hmm. organized, and I would just encourage you to do it for a couple years if it does come up to that, because the first year you're just kind of stepping up to the plate and, you know, getting the helicopters in to take those septic tanks and, you know, just, yeah.
Okay. Well, the report is planned to be done in less than a year, because July 2013 she plans on having a report.
Mm-hmm.
Is that correct?
2013, yeah, that's over a year.
Less than a year away.
Mm-hmm. Hey, that's why I'm concerned that isn't enough time.
Sure. What all do you plan on seeing in the report? What is the report going to contain?
Well,
I guess more
Senator Olson,
is there going to be a plan that the state can get involved with so they can rectify some of the situations and put in water and sewer in some of these communities, or is that just a report that?
Well, all of the above, I'm hoping. Well, definitely we want to have an accurate number. I think that's the very beginning. And then establish a spectrum of need and prioritize, because there are homes out there that just needs a well and septic tank.
Sure.
So we'd like to, you know, start, I think, there, and then go down from there to the next area of, you know, piped water, if that's next. But also I think if we could start doing some of these things simultaneously, you know, explore alternative, simple, self-sustaining water and sewer systems, and we can, you know, be looking at that, research other Arctic nations' water and sewer systems, and then coordinate funding and agencies, investigate, you know, past water and sewer projects, see, you know, learn from, you know, what we've done in the past, that kind of thing, look what we can do better. And then look at the regulations, too. I mean, mm-hmm. I think, you know, some of them might be too stringent or too strict in some areas, and see what we can do.
Okay. Senator Kukesh.
I just want to make a comment. I know Governor Knowles hasn't been a governor for a long time, but he's the last governor that stood up and said, we need to put the honey bucket into the museum. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I think there's some museums in rural Alaska that are still using honey buckets. That's the only reason why those are in the museum right now, and we haven't gone anywhere. And I'm really concerned about that. I want to point out that the VPSO task force a couple of years ago was an example of a very successful task force. We had a VPSO task force that went out. They did the examination of the VPSO program in rural Alaska, came back with recommendations. Because of those recommendations, the legislature took action to change the VPSO program to where now it's a very successful program, and we've even in that task force had an increase, for example, in the salaries of the VPSO. So I really have a firm belief that the task force program and task force direction can make a difference. $107,000 is a very minuscule amount to be able to put a task force together to find us some definitive answers.
I totally agree. Senator Menard.
Yes, thank you. You brought up a good question, and through the chair to Senator Kukesh. So I recognize that you're AFN president. And so when
chairman.
Sorry, didn't mean to demote you.
Yeah.
When you do your list of priorities, where does the sewer and water system for what we're trying to accomplish comes? I'm sure you have a list of priorities.
Senator Kukesh.
AFN by itself doesn't have its own money to do projects. AFN is an advocacy agency, an advocacy organization. When we see something like this task force, I'm sure the AFN board is going to take some action tomorrow to support this idea. And that's what AFN does. It doesn't have money to run. In fact, you'd be surprised to find out that AFN as an organization has 7 full-time employees. They're a very small organization, but very effective, and their job is to advocate. Mm-hmm. And so that's what they would do in this case.
Yes. Follow up, Senator Menard?
Yeah, I do know that it's advisory, but I'm looking at when you
for
meet
priority?
For priority.
Yeah.
And if you could show that this is like in your top five, or, you know, that gives you more fuel to get this going forward.
Actually, it would be probably some of our top priority. It has been for many years. We've even had, in the last AFN convention, meetings specifically to water and sewer projects. And that was one of the reasons for the task force, is that AFN had said, we have a problem out there and we're not addressing it. And those of you who are in the state government aren't addressing it. So we said, okay, we'll address it. And this is one of the first steps.
That's the information I wanted. Thank you.
Any further questions, Ms. Schotter, by members of the committee? If not, you just stay there. I understand Mr. Griffith from DEC is on. Mr. Griffith, are you on, sir?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I am.
Well, one of the questions, I'm assuming you're just here for questions and that not to testify, but we have some questions for you.
Certainly.
I guess one of the first questions having to do with water and sewer is we looked over the last 30 years, what kind of advances have been made technologically for the systems, especially as they relate to rural Alaska? In other words, you know, what do we know now that we didn't know 30 years ago?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, and for the record, my name is Bill Griffith, and I'm the Facility Programs Manager with the Department of Environmental Conservation. And looking back 30 years, a lot of progress has been made on hooking up homes, but as the testimony pointed out, where the job is not finished. 30 years ago, fewer than 25% of rural households had running water and sewer. Today, that number is around 75% if you don't count some of the larger regional hubs, leaving about 6,000 households unserved. Over the course of that 30 years, the approach has been to obviously try to provide service to those communities and homes where we can find good water sources and ways to treat that water in a way to dispose safely of sewage. So you might say that the easier, most economical systems have been constructed, roughly in about 120 rural communities. But at this point, what we're looking at are the most difficult to serve communities, those communities where finding a good water source is difficult, finding a place to put a lagoon, finding a way to treat water and get it distributed to homes in a sustainable way is the most challenging. So that's kind of where we stand with regard to the progress that's been made, is that we've got the most difficult communities yet to be served.
Okay. The comment was made earlier on by the bill sponsor that a major portion of the Village Safe Water budget is made up of federal funds, while the larger municipalities have been taking up some of the state funds that are there. Is that indeed true, and how do we equalize the, and why is that, I guess, is the question.
Well, for the last 20 years or so, most of the money has been federal, and the state has provided only the required state match for those federal funds. And the ratio for the last 15 or 20 years has been 75% federal, with a required state match for the remaining 25% of project costs. So it's been that we've had that 75-25 ratio in funding for going on about 20 years now. And like I said, the state has just typically provided the required minimum state match in order to make sure we capture all those federal funds.
I understand
but
that.
What we've seen over the course of the last 7 years is a significant decline in that federal money, which means there's been a corresponding decline in state funding.
I understand that, but the comment also was made that much of the state money has gone to larger communities for their water and sewer. Is that true?
Well, the state provides 100% grant funding for municipal matching grants to larger municipalities in the state. And that's just a state appropriation independent of any federal funding. And it provides that funding every year, like I said, through for the municipal matching grant program. But there was one difference with that program. Communities themselves have to provide a match for that state funding. And that match varies depending on the population of the community. It's not all state money, but there's no federal money involved.
Okay, the other thing I had was, Mr. Griffith, if I could continue, was a press release dated on July 2011 that states that the United States Department of Agriculture awarded $23.6 million. Do these funds pass through the Village Safe Water projects that are throughout the state?
Yes, I believe that money is part of the federal money that I was referring to that requires a state match. So along with that 23 or so million in federal funds, the state would have to come up with a required match for those funds. So that's the money that I was referring to, the federal money that requires the state match.
Okay. Any further questions, Mr. Griffith, by members of the committee? Now, Mr. Griffith, thanks for coming out this afternoon.
Sure.
Any further questions by members of the committee for the bill sponsor? If not, do you have any closing comments, Ms. Shockley?
Senator, just one, the one that I... You know, as I've traveled around, and I'm sure most of you have too, that ironically every school in every community has running water and sewer, pretty much. I mean, and so, you know, I think, I don't think it's impossible, you know, to get running water to our neighbors in rural Alaska. If the schools can do it, then so can the state. Mm-hmm. So, thank you.
We have just been made aware that there is one person that wants to go ahead and testify on the bill. Mary Schlosser. Go ahead and identify yourself for the record and go ahead with your testimony.
Thank you, Chairman. For the record, my name is Mary Abalazuk Schlosser. And as I am a part of Senator Kukesh's staff, today I'm speaking for myself as a state citizen. Referencing the national headlines that Senator Kukesh was talking about, the Pentagon has spent $2.6 billion in initial funding alone for water and sewer treatment in Iraq, in a foreign country which we are at war with, and we are not taking care of our own in this state. I just found that an interesting fact, and what they've spent that initial funding on is 6 sewage treatment plants, 2 water treatment plants, and an urban water supply in southern Iraq. The reason this hits so close to home is because my grandfather was a World War II veteran, barely acknowledged as such, as we were still a territory at the time. Is one of the only elders left in a village called Kotlik, where I am originally from. And he has spent his whole life emptying honey buckets on a weekly basis. And he has had 10 children in his household and then numerous grandchildren that have spent time in that household, including myself. I was adopted by my grandparents. And I just wanted to come and testify today that there is a face and a personal story to this bill. And if you have any questions about my personal testimony, I'd be happy to answer, and I just thank you for your time.
Any questions of Ms. Lasher by members of the committee? Well, it's nice to go ahead and put a face in to the testimony that is there, and certainly he deserves not just recognition, but hopefully the children and the grandchildren don't have to suffer through the same type of hauling the honey bucket out every, especially when it starts to freeze and those things, it's hard to get extracted out of the bucket.
Thank you, Senator Olson. I appreciate that.
Next, we have Joy Huntington. Ms. Huntington, please come and identify yourself for the record and go through the testimony.
Good afternoon, Senator Olson and members of the committee. Thank you for allowing me to speak today. My name is Joy Huntington, and I'm the granddaughter of Judy Woods of Tanana and Walter, the late Walter Woods of Rampart, and I'm actually the daughter of a staff member in the audience today. My husband's family's from Galena as well, so very strong roots in the villages, and I actually grew up in Manly Hot Springs in Stevens Village, so we didn't have running water. I was the one packing out the bucket, and I wanted to share with you really quickly another personal story that I left at 16 to go to a private boarding school in Sedona, Arizona. It was a school that really brought people from around the world together, only 80 students. There were people from Africa, Brazil, Macedonia, Croatia, Japan, China, everywhere you can imagine, and there was only one student that didn't have running water at home, and that was me. So when you look at what kind of example we're sharing with the rest of the world, and I've been to places like South Africa with students, college students of mine, and they looked at these homes that didn't have running water and felt pity and sadness for them and really looked down on their lifestyle. And all the while, they had a student with them that didn't have running water, and that was myself. And so when I went around the world, it was really hard for me to share that with my fellow students in college because I knew they were going to think I was poor and that everything that you imagine about, these people that we're talking about, that was me. And so I really felt embarrassed about the fact that we, had a honey bucket and an outhouse. And so as much as we can, and I actually am representing Tanana Chiefs Conference today, so we are the tribal entity for 42 villages in the interior. And so I'm in an official capacity representing them. And just to share my personal side of, going out and, knowing that people would really look down on me for not having that. And not only is it an issue of feeling embarrassed, it's a health issue as well. And we did some research back there on what the possible effects are of coming in contact with raw sewage, which is the effects are, this is from the American Rivers Organization, cancer of the colon, liver failure, heart disease, diabetes, reactive arthritis, death in many cases, stomach cancer for children, failure to develop physically and mentally. So these are some pretty serious issues. And when I was going around working in a capacity, many of us that are committed to villages have to go travel to villages. You've done it several times yourself. I went to Hooper Bay and had to use the community facility for showering, and there were warning signs up that to be careful to not sit down because you could get sores and things like that. And that's really scary. So for us to go out and work for the villages, and I also was traveling in a capacity doing energy planning, and I actually ended up in the emergency room on Christmas Eve with MRSA. So a little too much information maybe, but I really wanted to share that if we're going to be out there helping them, then it's a matter of safety not only for the people living in the villages, but for ourselves. So I don't want to have to worry about going out to serve villages because, I might end up back in the emergency room because I had to use the washateria. So I wanted to bring up that health issue. And one of the last comments is that out migration is something that we deal with on a regular basis, and the question is always, how can we change that, you know, change this rate of out-migration. Personally, now that I'm a mom and now that I've seen the effects of the sanitation and the health, am I going to move my family to a village that doesn't have running water? No, sir, I am not. So that's something that if we want to, you know, promote our community's livelihood, look at the villages that don't have running water, and then you'll see why people are moving out. And so to kind of end my comments, I think, of course, I'm supporting, and we at TCC are supporting SB 147, and we thank Senator Kukesh for his leadership on that and his staff. And just, you know, it goes without saying that this is an important issue. Everybody acknowledges it. It's a matter of how do we speed up the process, and I think a task force is a great way to do that. If we have a broadband task force, I think we can have a water and sewer task force, and there's a task force for a lot of things, and I think they do actually motivate people to kind of get some work done. So those are my statements. If anybody has any questions,
any questions of members of the committee about Ms. Huntington?
Oh, delightful.
Since you've had an intimate and personal relationship with MRSA, remind me what MRSA is.
It's an infection. It is the worst cousin of the staph infection. People die. Cameron Diaz's father died of MRSA, just for those people that are aware of pop culture in here. So it can get into your blood, actually. And it's basically, it's gross. It's really, really gross. But it is deadly, and it's a very nasty, and they have to give you really intensive antibiotics. And actually, I was pregnant at the time. So the danger to the child, I really didn't want to travel to villages after that, and that's you know, not something that I want to, you know, have to feel. So MRSA is really bad, and it was actually after I went to, you know, when you're pregnant, you have to use the restroom quite a bit. So I went to the washateria because there was no running water, of course, where I was staying, and I used the restroom, and I was washing my hands. There was a sign up on the wall that said, "Danger! Another MRSA outbreak." I'm like, oh, shoot, I wish I would have seen that, you know, ahead of time. Sure. But it's so common that there are signs up, and, you know, just it's pretty scary. So for folks living out there, it's a health issue that I wouldn't want any of you to be in that situation where you're concerned about your own health, and neither would I for those folks living out there.
Sure. MRSA is actually methicillin-resistant staphylococcus aureus, and like you say, it's almost a flesh-eating infection that goes on, and it's nasty, and people have actually, like she said, have died for it, but I've never had it, so I thought since you had it, I thought we'd ask you.
Do you want me to show you a picture? I have a picture of when I had MRSA. I can share it with everybody if you want.
Sure.
No, I'm just kidding. It was really gross. You don't want to see that.
I want to put it up on my wall.
Okay.
With that, thank you very much for coming out this afternoon. Unless there's further questions, Ms. Huntington.
You're welcome. And I think, and also to support our health programs, there's a story of someone that had MRSA back, and there was not, you know, health facilities nearby. So he actually had to cut himself open and take care of it himself. So when you're also looking at health programs, please keep that in mind as well. So we want clinics that are functioning and health aides out there as well. So just another side comment.
Thank you very much for coming out this afternoon and telling us this very could have been tragic story that could have happened.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much.
With that, if there's nothing else to come before the committee, we're going to go ahead and have the next Community and Regional Affairs Committee meeting on Thursday, which is the 23rd. We'll be going on from there. With that, if there's nothing else, this meeting is adjourned.